Hey, Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs here, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. On today's show, getting into the latest on the crappiness that is the 2019-20 Cavaliers, getting into their loss to the Celtics, the bad, which there's a lot of, the good, which there wasn't quite as much of, and then talking about what's exactly going on with Kevin Love right now and what his future might look like wearing a Cavs uniform. Stay tuned for more of that on today's episode of Locked On Cavaliers for Tuesday, December 10th.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, again, Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs here. In case you missed the game or in case you did something maybe more productive with your time on Monday night, like watching Watchmen, catching Watchmen, watching Crisis and Infinite Earths on the CW, doing something that is just like pure joy, watching other basketball games like Toronto and Chicago, or perhaps you stayed up late to watch Memphis and Golden State, or you're like Lizzo and are big into Karl Anthony Towns. The Cavs lost to the Celtics 110-88 on Monday. This was a game that the Cavs were outscored by 11 in the first quarter, outscored in every quarter, not quite as bad as the first, in a game that just shows you how big of a gap I think there is between Cleveland and the rest of the conference. They lose by quite a bit. Had some moments where you thought maybe they're going to get this back under double digits before Boston would just slam the door all the way back shut again. Statistical leaders for the Cavs in this one. Jordan Clarkson leads the way with 19 points off the bench, 7-14 shooting for him, 3-8 from the field, 2-2 from the line, 3 assists, 3 boards, 3 turnovers. Tristan Thompson had in 36 minutes, a team high 36 minutes, 17 points, 8 of 11 shooting, 1 of 7 from the free throw line, which is not great, 11 boards, 8 of which were on the offensive end, 5 turnovers for Tristan, 1 assist, 1 steal. And then Kevin Love, 7 points, 3 of 12 shooting, 1 of 7 on threes, 10 boards. Jetty Osmond, 4. Sexton had 8. Garland had 8. And then Kevin Porter Jr. and John Henson both had 9 points, with Larry Nance having 6 and 7. For Boston, you have Kemba Walker, 22. Jaylen Brown, 20. Daniel Tice, 10. Hayward, 14. Tatum, 5. All Celtics starters in double digits, with Enes Kanter adding 7 off the bench. They didn't really need anything else other than their starters doing a lot of really, really good work. The Cavs as a team shoot 39.6% from the field, 22.6% on three-pointers. Boston comparatively 57.7% from the field, 55.6% on three-pointers. That is truly, actually, not what you want. If you're going to just to talk about the good first, and I think there's a couple things that I liked in this one. Number one, if you're looking at a couple moments of stuff that I liked, I thought Kevin Porter Jr. had a drive for one of his buckets where he drove on Kemba Walker, identified the mismatch, went at him, scored over Kemba. Just good instincts by KPJ for him to just notice what was in front of him and to be able to take advantage. This is not a game that you're, again, going to get a lot of positive out of, but I like that you saw that from KPJ and him kind of continuing to release some stuff that was positive. John Henson looked like a live body, didn't rebound well, but 9 points for him, 4-6 from the field. That's kind of not an unuseful 9 minutes for him. Nance looked all right, I thought. But really, the two guys that played well in this game, the only two guys that I think were good performers for the Cavs here, were Jordan Clarkson and Tristan Thompson. To start with Tristan, 17 points, 11 boards, 8 on the offensive glass. He's kind of the guy that was doing a lot of the work. He was the most energetic guy, I thought, for the Cavs on the floor. He was the guy kind of doing a lot of the dirty work on the floor. He wasn't perfect by any means. You know, he got beat up in, I think, some defensive situations where pick and rolls were going down and the Cavs just had no really ability to stop or communicate or defend those effectively. But Tristan goes in there, and, you know, you can look at his free throw shooting and I think have just... You can look at that number and just be like, what the hell is this? What kind of, how can you say he had a good game when he missed a ton of free throws, leaving a ton of points on the board? That's fair. But if you're looking at the Cavs right now, this is a team that is 5-18. They're 2-9 away from home. It feels like they haven't won. They have recently won games. They just like beat Portland or whatever. But it feels like they haven't won like a game in forever. This is bleak right now. They're bottom 10 in both offensive and defensive rating. This is a bad basketball team. They are sort of what we expected, at least I expected they'd be, come the beginning of the season. When you're looking at this now, Tristan is kind of doing some of the stuff you sort of need to have happen if you're going to have a team eke out wins that they shouldn't eke out. So for Tristan, that means he's getting 17 points. That means he's getting all these offensive rebounds. The Cavs as a team were in the 99th percentile, according to Cleaning the Glass, in offensive rebounds for this game. Got 42.5% of possible offensive rebounds. That's, or ended up being 40.7, excuse me, the 98th percentile. That is just frankly absurd. They don't do a ton with that. It's not like they had an offensive rating this game of 94.6. That's really bad. But Tristan gobbling up offensive rebounds like this and then at least doing something with them is the kind of thing you need if you're just going to win games against better teams. You know, you need other stuff to break, right? Kevin Love needs to play better. You need to have the guards, the two young guards, shoot better than a combined 8 of 25 from the field. But that's at least just a positive. And Tristan Thompson, it remains just having a good year. Remains just being, I think, maybe the most consistent Cav this year. I think that's fair to say. And he's just been good. He might, I think, certainly could find a home on a better team come the deadline. I don't know quite how a deal like that for him would sort of look like. But you can kind of, I think, okay, Tristan could help a team. And the other thing is just Jordan Clarkson. This is, about as efficient as you're going to get from JC. Again, 26 minutes, 14 shots, makes 7, 3 of 8 from 3, 2, 2 from the line, 3 boards, 3 assists, a steal, 3 turnovers, plus 5, which single game plus minus, take that for whatever it is. But I don't think this was a bad Clarkson game. I think this is, again, a good Clarkson game. I think this is Clarkson being about as even-keeled, as efficient as possible. This wasn't a guy that I felt was being particularly reckless. Sometimes I think you watch Jordan Clarkson and you say, this guy is being a little bit too much. This guy is being all over the place. I don't think this was a Clarkson that was necessarily doing that. And this is the kind of game that if you're hoping he's going to get turned into a useful player, that he's going to get turned into a guy that could be flipped for something, be it 2 second-round picks or a protected first-round pick or something, you can live with that. And if you look at just his shot chart, this is also just like kind of the right type of shot selection for Clarkson. You know, he doesn't make a ton of threes in this one, and he didn't take a ton of free throws, but he gets to the rim, and he took threes, and he didn't settle for mid-range shots. That's the kind of Jordan Clarkson that you, I think, like to actually see. It's truly what you want to see, and I think for the Cavs, you can live with that. That's all the positives you can really have. You can look at the Cleaning the Glass numbers. You know, they shot a bunch at the rim. I thought that was good. The offensive rebounding was good. They shot corner threes at a high clip, but didn't take a lot of them. Okay. There's just not a lot of other stuff when you look at things here and looking at sort of what they're doing that I think tells you the Cavs did a lot of positive. There are stats that are at least a little bit positive. There are stats you can look at it from this one where you can feel okay about it. It's all the offensive rebounds, it's all Tristan, it's all Jordan Clarkson having a decent game, it's all them at least getting some putbacks and scoring off of that stuff, even if it's not at the best percentile, but at least doing some stuff with that and making use of some of the things they did do well. Again, it got them, they did have little runs in the second half to get closer, but this was enough. The Cavs ended up losing by 110 to 188. That is a 22-point loss for the Cavs. This is a bad team. They lost to a very good team. Some nights, as discouraging as it is, I think it's as simple as that. We'll get into some of the bad and after the break here. But today's show is sponsored by the good folks over at Audible. Audible is awesome. I love Audible. If it's the time of year when everyone is traveling, running around, or giving, and you need thoughtful gifts for people, now is the best time to do it with a special offer, 53% off your first 3 months of Audible. This is the ability to choose 3 titles every month. That's 1 audiobook, 2 exclusive Audible originals you can't hear anywhere else. You can listen anywhere, anytime with the Audible app. It's great while commuting, if you're at the gym, while running, or during your holiday travels. And you can do easy audiobook exchanges. Your own audiobook library you keep forever, even if you cancel. It's just a great, great service. Right now, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That is over half off the regular price. You can do that by visiting audible.com/lockedonNBA or texting lockedonNBA to 500-500. This is, again, a great service. This is something where you can give a great gift. You can give a gift yourself if you're into giving into giving yourself a great holiday gift, and you can save a bunch of money while doing it as well. I think Audible is great. You can listen to any kind of book wherever you are with Audible and check out anything you're truly, truly going to love. And the Audible originals are utterly fantastic. There's just a great selection of any kind of book you want to get with Audible original. So, again, to get that deal, go to audible.com/lockedonNBA, or you can text LockedOnNBA to 500-500. Again, that's locked. That is audible.com/lockedonNBA, or you can text LockedOnNBA to 500-500. Do that now. Go get that great gift. Give yourself the gift of listening. Give someone else the great gift of listening. And go to audible.com/lockedonNBA. We'll be right back. All right, we're back here. Chris Manning here with more Lockdown Caps. To get into some of the bad, I just want to start with Kevin Love. Kevin Love, again, stat line 3-12 from the field, 1-7 from 3, 10 boards, 7 points. Not a Kevin Love game that I think you can feel particularly good about. And I think this game sort of illustrates a broader problem I think we can sort of think the Cavs have with Kevin Love right now. For me with Kevin, I think you're seeing a guy that is still very good. I think is still putting up good numbers. If they feel a little bit empty, I think it is because Kevin is not able to sort of supersede a bad situation. This is a bad team. This is a team where the talent level isn't there. These guys are raw. Even if like KPJ and Garland and Sexton and all these young guys end up becoming good NBA players, they're not now, and they're not in a way that is making Kevin Love's life easier. If you just watch how Boston and a lot of other teams have started to defend him, he's getting a lot of attention when he's on the floor. He's the guy that's getting sort of almost full-on doubles thrown at him sometimes. He's certainly getting hounded and paid attention to with the defense tilted towards him in ways that no other player is, and the Cavs can't capitalize on it. Aside from Thompson and Clarkson, just some of the stat lines from key Cavs in this one. KPJ is 4 of 8. Only missed his 1-3. Okay. 1-3 from the line. So, you know, did some good stuff, but maybe not as deadly as you would hope. The real struggles come from Jetty Osmond, who's 1 of 5. You come from Garland, who's 4 of 11, Sexton, who's 4 of 14, Larry Nance, 1 of 3. You're not getting, like, actual good, useful stuff out of the guys that are taking a lot of your shots. Sexton and Garland is really the troublesome one because you're hoping, I think the hope with Kevin is that he's going to draw attention, he's going to create just sort of a stable presence within the overall sense of the offense. That's going to establish a floor for the offense, and that's going to make life easier for Sexton and Garland. Some of the struggles are going to happen because Garland is young, Sexton's young, Garland's got all this rust, etc. Both of them, though, are struggling. They're a little inconsistent right now. They're a little kind of unsure of how things work, and this overall, I don't think, hasn't quite come together in a way that you, I think, I wouldn't blame you for feeling uncomfortable with sort of how this Cavs situation has unfolded so far. Kevin also just isn't able to supersede what's going on right now. A team like Boston is, again, very good. This is a team that is, I think, been truly one of the surprises in the East. They've been, I think, overall just like a quality team. They get Hayward back in this one. It adds another dimension. If you look at their sort of rankings in terms of offense, this is a number 6 offense in the league. This is the number 2 defense in the league coming into Monday night's game, just ahead of Denver, who's 3rd in the league, and just behind the Bucks. In terms of win differential, they're, in terms of their names, they're expected to win, and then based on what they're actually winning, they're 13th in that, so they're playing about at the level you would expect in terms of their wins. In the last 2 weeks, this is a team that has, over that last two weeks, man, 5th in offense, and then 4th, and then 5th in defense over that span. This is a team that has been good. They've been consistent. They get Hayward, again, get Hayward back in this one. They're getting good minutes from just about everybody, and they're well-coached, and they know what they're doing. We'll talk more about Kevin and sort of what could be next for him in the last segment, but just, this is a game that if you want to say, this is like why maybe the Cavs should move on from Kevin Love, this is a game that helps you make that case. For me, the other big struggle in this one, I think the guard struggling is obvious. Need to look at the film, need to look at sort of what went wrong for these guys and kind of diagram what is struggling with them. I'm not going to do those tweets. I'm not currently engaging with Twitter, going to maybe write about this or talk about it at the very least. So stay tuned for that if you want to hear more on that. But you're just looking at an overall offense that just like doesn't quite have the identity right now. That kind of stems from Kevin not being what you would hope he could be, but it is what it is. And it's just not exactly an optimal sort of setup for anyone. This isn't helping anybody. For me, the other thing that really stands out as a negative in this one is just the overall roster kind of where it lacks. The Cavs have a lot of small guards. This isn't new, but they drafted 2 6'2" and under guards the last two drafts. And then you look at a team like Boston that has a lot of wings. So they got Jaylen Brown, they have Tatum, they have Hayward. Those are obviously three bigger wings. Those guys, Brown was 9-15, Tatum 7-14, Hayward 7-10. Those are their shooting numbers in this one. Look at the rest of the roster. You have Grant Williams. You have Semi Ojeleye. You have guys that are big and know what they're doing and can contribute and kind of play on the perimeter. And then you look at the Cavs and it's like they have a lot of small guys and KPJ is finding his way and Jetty's a bit thin. If you're looking at what is holding the Cavs' young core back from being interesting and being as interesting a thing as it could be, it is the wing play. And I think this is just one of those games where, as I talked about with the Kevin thing, the Cavs are just lacking wings that are good and interesting. This is a really hard thing to find. If you just look at what the league is and how the teams that are good, the teams that are bad, the teams that have found at least serviceable wings can do some interesting stuff. Wings dominate the league. Wings and having quality wings really just kind of helps you be consistent. Look, if you're looking at the reason why the Wolves are a bit more pesky this year, like Wiggins hitting is a reason why that's the case. A team like the Clippers like works because they have these two dominant wings. A lot of people like Utah come to years because they had a good collection of guys that could be switchable. Even if they weren't guys that maybe could defend LeBron or Kawhi or whatever, they had a bunch of good wings. Boston has Jaylen Brown. They have Tatum. They have Hayward. They drafted Grant Williams. They have Ojeleye. They have guys that can be on the perimeter, that can switch, that can play a bunch of different ways, and they can go small, they can go big. They can play a bunch of them at once. They all are multidimensional. Again, these are hard things to find. It requires a lot of good development. But this is a game that shows you the Cavs don't have that. KPJ just isn't there yet. We don't know what Windler is at the NBA level yet. We don't know what Jetty's going to kind of be in terms of what he's at. To me, he looks like he's kind of a fringe rotation piece based on what he's been right now. 538's models, for example, have Jetty as a project. Porter is a marginal prospect, and then Windler is an okay prospect. They're not blowing anyone out of the water with these guys. And I think this game is just proof where if you're looking at how the Cavs need to build going forward, it is addressing wings. You look at the 2020 NBA draft, I think you're looking, it has to be wings. It has to be guys that you believe can play the three and maybe the four in that regard. Just kind of looking at what you're sort of looking at in terms of prospects, you're looking at who you want to pay attention to. You can talk yourself into LaMelo Ball because he's like 6'7 and can play the wing. We'll see what he sort of actually is. Certainly is a creator in a way that some of these other guys are not. You're looking at Anthony Edwards from Georgia. You're looking at guys from the guy from Israel whose name is escaping me at the moment. You're looking at guys, you're trying to find guys that can just fix sort of what you're looking for. Fix this need. Even if they're not perfect, even if they're not great, it's just such a position of need. It was a position of need coming into the year. It's why, like, I think Windler and Porter were smart picks later in the first round. I know the Cavs really, really think highly of Kevin Porter Jr. They thought highly from the draft process. He's, I think, been better than you would have expected at this point. But you just look at this roster, I don't think any of those guys are the star wings you're sort of looking for. So, again, we're looking at the guys I mentioned, you're looking at Jaden McDaniels from Washington, guys like that. And I think if you're looking at what you want to do in terms of trades this year, if you're trying to get certain things, if you're trying to get players back and not picks, I think you're clearly looking for what's to come with finding wings and finding ways to get wings. If that's trading Kevin Love, if that's trading other stuff, if that's trading Jordan Clarkson, if that's taking on bad salary to get a young, useful wing that another team doesn't have a need for, I think you try and do that. you know, are you going to get your future starting three in these deals? No, but you're going to get something, and I think that's sort of what you're hoping for. And I think this is just, again, a game that shows you that you need that, and it's about finding that going forward, and we'll see what happens. All right, that's going to be it for today's show. Going to cut it short just due to what time it is. We'll talk a whole bunch more about Kevin Love tomorrow. I'm going to try to book someone and then get into it big and deep. But thanks for listening for today's Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris Manning, and talk to you again tomorrow.